This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest this week is Kevin Fish, Executive Director, Ability Point. Welcome to Issues 2025.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, is Ability Point a relatively new name or a new brand for you?
It is. Actually, we transitioned from the Arc of Sedgwick County to Ability Point in October of 2021.
So what was the reason for it?
It was a couple.
I just got used to the ARC.
Exactly. You know, when the organization began, it was the Association for Retarded Children. And obviously, the R word has a lot of stigma for a lot of people. And so we became the ARC, and we're the ARC for a long time. But people still wanted to use the acronym ARC. And quite honestly, there's a whole lot of ARCs in our community. And you don't really think about it, but we get phone calls for them all the time. And so when we would talk to marketing firms about, you know, trying to develop some new things or that, everybody would always say, have you thought about changing your name? So we went through a process and actually surveyed our stakeholders and then the general community. What we found that people who knew us loved us and knew all about us. Those who didn't know us had no idea who we were based on our name. And so it was a good opportunity for us to make a transition and really put our focus on the abilities of the people that we serve.
I like it. I think it works. You know? It tells it. This is Disability Awareness Month, and what should our listeners know about that?
Yeah, so people with intellectual and developmental disabilities obviously are an important part of our community. And we have, in Sedgwick County, nearly 10,000 individuals have a developmental disability. A developmental disability is something that happens in your developmental stage. A lot of times we just assume you're just born with it, but developmental stage goes up through age 21. So, you know, we have people that won't show signs of autism until they're a little bit later, sometimes due to accidents, injuries, medication issues and stuff. Somebody may be left impaired in some way, which then causes them to have an intellectual or developmental disability that then they have for the rest of their lives. And so part of what we're trying to do is, one, help people understand this is a population just like us, same hopes and dreams for their lives. And we have an opportunity to come together and really highlight their successes. Focus on the abilities. Everybody has abilities to do something. Everybody has hopes and dreams. And our focus is to help them reach those.
When I heard that number earlier in the week, we spoke with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty, and he said something like 9,000. I was kind of surprised, but where do your clients come from? What do you call clients, friends, patients? Yeah. What do you call those?
Well, and for us, based on what program they're doing with us is how we do it. So in case management, they're clients. When they participate in our mini tour programs, they're participants. Students in our YES program. We try to avoid having a key label.
Okay. So where do they come from? Are they all from here in Sedgwick County then?
Well, we do have people who move to Sedgwick County because of all the amazing resources we have here. And so because there are certain parts of the state where you may only have one provider, if any, or you may have to travel miles to get to them. So we do have families who will move to Sedgwick County because of the array of supports that are here. But statistically, somewhere between 1.5% and 3% of the general population in the United States have a developmental disability. And so statistically, you can kind of map out where we're at. But again, we do have people who are coming. Of that 9,000, only about 3,000 are actually in services within Sedgwick County. So there's an awful lot of families, and it may be that they have young children and they haven't started looking for those kind of things yet, or have just chosen not to take them. But there's a significant portion of our population.
Can you outline for us specifically what these disabilities are? Are there several, 100?
Are there a lot of them
that you're looking at? Or?
Yeah, so when we're talking developmental disability, and it's everything from Down syndrome and autism, cerebral palsy, fetal alcohol syndrome, Williams syndrome. You know, there's a lot of those that some are genetic. And like I said, some of those are things that may develop later in someone's life. You know, we've seen a huge increase over the years in the number of people with autism. And you'll see that when they do the autism walk and stuff, and, you know, and it used to be 1 in 100 and then 1 in 70 and 1 in 50. And that number's going up. And there's a variety of reasons and potential reasons. One, it's becoming a better diagnosed.
Yeah.
You know, that they're able
they
to kind
spot
of
spot it easier.
Exactly. They know what they're kind of cueing in on it, and then they can make sure they're getting those extra supports. And then, you know, I know when I was a kid, I didn't know anybody who was allergic to peanuts or bread or anything else, and now you see it everywhere. So, you know, what is the prevalence that may be increasing the number of autism individuals could be that, part of that as well.
Does Ability Point have a central location?
We do. Our main office is 2919 West 2nd, so we're over in West Wichita, and that's where we house our key staff. But most of the events and activities we do, we try to be community-based. So we may meet there, but we may be doing activities in other places. We've got great partnerships with the Park Department and the Y and Club Rodeo and a variety of places that let us come in and do events for our folks.
Are your people, do they live in provided housing or anything like that?
So we do not have residential services at our organization.
Residential services. Okay.
So we don't have residential services. We are the largest targeted case management provider in the state. And so we have 700 individuals that we're serving in case management. And of those, I would say probably 500 plus are in residential services. So what we do is we help connect them with some of those providers. What we try to do is we don't need to recreate the wheel. We've got a lot of great providers. There are some services that we started. We started the first sheltered workshop in the state. And again, it was our parents looking for opportunities for our individuals. They connected with the Elks, and became the Kansas Elks Training Center for the Handicapped Catch. And so we've got a relationship there. But we didn't need to keep doing that when you have other people who are providing it. So we try to find ways to fill in some of those gaps.
How long are your clients, your partners, your people, how long are they generally involved with Ability Point? All of their lives
We are one of the few organizations that serve people throughout their lifetime. We serve both youth and adults. A lot of organizations are either youth or adult focused, but they can get involved with us. Most of them start with us when they're school age, so 5 on up. We've got a variety of youth programs, but then as they transition into adulthood, they can be with us forever. So we have people who we serve who are 5, and we've got people who we serve who are 85. And so it is great for us to be able to see them grow up within those programs and transition and become more independent as adults.
And how are you funded?
Our funding comes in a variety of ways. We rely very heavily on the community. And so we do a variety of fundraising events or activities so we can try to make events or activities as free as or affordable as possible. We'll do 250 events a year for the people that we serve in our special project programs. And a third of those are either free or low cost. And that's, again, through fundraising or grants that we're able to offer it. There may be fees associated with it that the families pay. Our case management services are largely covered through Medicaid dollars. And so, again, no cost then going on to the families.
Are there any legislative or government efforts you'd like to talk about regarding disabilities?
Yeah, you know, this month gives us an opportunity. We just went and had Advocacy Day here recently up at the state capitol. And we had 750 self-advocates from around the state that came. And again, to kind of show this population and how important they are in our community. We have seen over the last several years our legislative champions do a lot to help improve the IDD system in the state of Kansas. You know, we went through periods where we had 10, 15 years without funding increases, which made it very difficult for agencies to continue to grow to be able to pay their staff. You know, the last time case management had a rate increase, minimum wage was still $4.25. You know, a lot had changed over this period of time. And so, you know, these legislative champions have helped us to kind of move the needle on notice some of these rate increases, but bringing people off a waiting list. Our waiting list in Kansas was almost 11 years long, meaning that when you wanted to apply for services for your children, they literally had to wait for 11 years. And that's devastating. And quite honestly, it was continue to grow because those people who had been waiting 11 years were told the waiting list was 6 years long when they applied. But it just kept growing over that time.
So how long is it now then? Still?
So it has improved because of our legislature. The last two sessions, so this last year, they took over 500 people off the waiting list. The waiting list was a little over 5,000 people. It was the biggest reduction we had seen in state history. And right now, there's a proposal to bring another 320 people off the waiting list. And they also capped it, saying that we're not going to let it grow past this number anymore. So that was huge for us. Now, the next challenge is we've got 500 people we've got to find a place for. because a lot of our service agencies across the state are pretty close to capacity. And since they haven't had a lot of rate increases, it was tough to grow. But we got to find a place for those people. So it is great. So that waiting list is now about 8.5 years, which still far too long, but so much better than it was. And you just feel like there's a little bit of hope there and there's a commitment to continue to bring that down.
What are some of the biggest challenges that people with disabilities face in daily life?
You know, a lot of people will think about, well, what is it their disability limits them on? But quite honestly, it's the perception of the community a lot of times. You know, a potential employer, people that may be in their class, you know, others that they're dealing with that will make assumptions based on what they've seen in a movie or interaction that they may have had at one particular time. But the reality is our folks can do so many very different things and should have the opportunities to do that. You know, somebody, it may take them a little bit longer to learn a skill. You know, it is a little bit more challenging. And, you know, you might equate it to learning a different language. That, you know, it's going to take you a while before you're able to get up to speed on maybe a bit different kind of a particular job or skill that they're trying to develop. But they have the ability to do it, especially because oftentimes they have a heart because they want to learn to do it.
Are local businesses helpful in overcoming barriers?
A lot of them are. We've had some great community partners and stuff. This last fall, we were able to highlight in October, they do a disability employment awareness. And so we did an event with our Wichita Chamber and it was Unlocking Potential. And it was a great little session. And we invited in a number of HR directors from community businesses and had a panel talking about hiring people with disabilities and what a great asset they can be. Because one of the nice things about our population in general, not everybody, but they want to have that job and they love and they value and they want to stay with that employer. And you don't see that in what are oftentimes frontline entry positions. Everybody's looking for the next step. Everybody's looking to move on. Where you have somebody who is so excited about having that opportunity. And so when you have a business who says, hey, you know, I am willing to take the time to teach them how to do it and encourage them in that position because I know this person will be with me forever, you know. And so we've got people who've been in the same job for 15, 20, 25 plus years.
Wow.
Because they love what they do and their manager values them. Sometimes when you get a new manager, it becomes more challenging because they may not have had experience working with people with disabilities. And so that's why, you know, it's always great that, you know, if a family says, hey, we've got a new manager here, they could reach out. There's some businesses here in our community, some providers who can go in and do some education with some of those.
And you're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Kevin Fish, Executive Director, Ability Point. Tell us about some of your fundraising efforts. It sounds like you keep pretty busy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's important, you know, roughly 30% of our funds every year are through fundraising, you know, because we use that to be able to, again, keep costs down, to provide scholarships. And so through the course of the year, we've got some partnerships with Cars for Charities, which does a big event in January where they split a portion of those funds with us each and every year. We have the Kansas Sunflower Swap Meet, which again is the same thing where they put on this amazing event really to be able to help support our efforts. Every spring we do our Eat, Drink, Give, and Enjoy event, our Edge event. And again, it's more of a dinner gala type event where we'll have a live and silent auction and people come out to give and support our cause. And it really helps move the needle for us on so many different things. For years, we did our Lights event, which a lot of people knew us for. It started at the Lights on St. Paul and became the Arcs Lights and Lights at Ability Point. But we did retire that this last year, and really just because of the amount of time and energy that we were having to invest in it, as we start moving to our next phases of growth and stuff, we felt like it was tying up our volunteers and our core staff so much, and there's so many great other places to go. So we transitioned away from that. So we are working on something new, which we hope to unveil in the next 6 months or so, but again, that it is a big part, but people can give in a lot of different ways, and that's what we depend on.
Well, this is a good place to talk about your staff, people who work for you.
Yeah.
How many people do you have to do this?
So our core staff is only 32 people, 20 which are case managers because of, again, being the largest TCM department in the state. Our programs department is essentially three people, but we have a huge group of volunteers. And so when we take groups out on outings and stuff, we may just have one or two staff who are formally there, and then we bring a big group of volunteers. It keeps that cost down so that we're, again, not having to pass that on to families. But we have a huge army of volunteers, over 100 different people every year that are volunteering every month in some way.
Do you have any, this is Awareness Month, do you have any special activities involved in this month? You may have done one or two already.
and we have. Advocacy Day was a big one up at the state capitol.
Yeah.
We have had, oftentimes we'll do a kickoff breakfast event, which is an awareness breakfast that, again, we can bring people in to share a little bit about. And it's, again, it gives us a chance to spread a little bit of awareness. We do a couple proclamations. Again, it gives us another chance to go and talk with our city leaders, county leaders, about who we are and what we're doing and the importance of our folks. This year we did a project with Wichita State University, and they actually worked on it through the fall. It's called Photo Voice. And what it was our self-advocates could check out if they wanted to participate a camera, and they were to take pictures of things that bring them joy.
Hmm.
And that was the only real instruction, is to take something that represents joy for you. And then when they came in, they sat down with some grad students, they showed their pictures, and then they talked about what it was that brought them joy. And it was great because one of the things that helps, again, break down some of those misunderstandings of people. And what you find is that similarities, that things that bring them joy are the same things that bring us joy. One of the things that was wonderful to see almost across the board was everybody who was working in the community, well, or even within a day program, had pictures from where they worked because that brought them joy.
Sure.
You know, and I think that is great because I don't know a whole lot of people would say necessarily that their job brings them joy. I love what I do. You probably love what you do. But for some people, that's not always the case. And so it was really neat to see some of that highlighted. But in the end, we were able to make these great display boards. And so down at the county commission, for an entire week at the Ruffin Building, they had this great huge display up. City Hall's putting it up for a week. And again, it gives us a chance for people coming and going to kind of see some of our individuals and hear a little bit about their story.
How can our listeners get involved? Do you welcome more volunteers? What do you need? What do you need from our people?
We love volunteers. We love volunteers. There's lots of ways for people to get involved. And if they go to our abilitypoint.org website and stuff, there's a section where it clicks on for getting involved. And people, they can give, whether it's a financial gift they want to do, if they are interested in volunteering or learning about that, where they can send a contact form to let us know. Because there's opportunities for people to volunteer individually, but we also have a lot of group volunteer opportunities. So we have employee groups who will come in to do projects with us, or church groups, civic groups, school groups. So, you know, if you're involved in a group, and we got a local Prairie Pilots group that comes and helps with our lunch bunch every month. Our lunch brunch serves 150 people for lunch every month. It was a program that started off for a dozen people, and it just grew in popularity. But it does take a little bit of an army to prep all of that, set it up, serve it, and clean up afterwards. And so there are lots of opportunities if there's groups out there interested.
Do people with disabilities encounter special health care needs?
Some do. And again, I think it's like our general population. You know, some people are born with a variety of different things that may be challenges in their lives. And then sometimes just because of the proximity, you know, we were really concerned throughout the pandemic of trying to make sure our folks were safe and understanding some of those boundaries. And that was really challenging sometimes, is for them to understand what that means and how they might get sick just by being around some friends who they've been with every other day of their lives. And so just trying to help them understand. But oftentimes people, for example, with Down syndrome may have a weaker heart. A lot of them go through heart surgeries. Our folks are living far longer. And so all of a sudden, we're starting to see some other challenges that weren't seen years ago. So as you get people who are aging, where they're starting to show signs of dementia. And again, we're starting to see programs like Starkey here in our community that develop specific dementia homes, places for them that have some additional care. Because again, this is something that 40 years ago, you didn't see people living this long. And so it is creating some other challenges that we're trying to be there for them for.
What are the biggest challenges facing Ability Point in this new year, Kevin?
You know, as we continue to grow, quite honestly, we've outgrown our building, which is a great problem to have. But, you know, we're sort of busting at the seams. But we're also seeing, as some of our other partners are struggling with a variety of different things. We've had a great relationship with the local school district. Our Circle of Friends mentoring program has been in a variety of schools. We've served over 2,000 students within that program. And we would have monthly activities that they could come participate in. But as finances have made it more challenging, they're not able to get out to go to those activities like they used to before. And so they've had to make some adjustments that then do trickle down to impact us a little bit. It impacts our summer program just a little bit as again, they're having to really focus some of their efforts. We couldn't do what we do without them. And so we appreciate that they're continuing to find ways to accommodate and try to make those programs work. But there is that financial struggle that really makes it challenging. And so when we do rely on our partners, you're relying on them being able to do what they do. You know, our park department has been fantastic and has a variety of programs and offerings that we're able to do. But we also have to find spaces for them. So as they continue to grow and adapt and add more programs, sometimes our space is a little less available in some of those locations. But as they're getting ready to open some additional centers and stuff, they've shared out there might be some new opportunities for us too.
You've been at this a long time. How many years? 29 now?
Yeah. I started in February 1996.
So how did you get to this job? Where did you before?
So, well, before coming to what was then the ARC, I worked for Northview Developmental Services up in Newton. And that was really kind of the beginning of this particular career. Did some volunteering with Special Olympics when I was in high school and such. But then moving here, I came for the youth programs. They were looking for somebody to help develop and expand the youth programs at was then the ARC. And then it kind of expanded into more of our special projects and adults. And like I said, we do 250 plus events. So, I mean, it was just always something going on. And it's about quality of life for people. And I mean, we do everything you can imagine. We took groups to Disney on Ice this month. We're going to baseball games as soon as the season is kicking off. We're going, we've got a group going on a cruise. We're going to Branson. We're going down to Oklahoma. We'll go to the casinos. I mean, anything you can imagine, we have participated in.
Well, what do you like best about your job?
The people.
What gets you going in the morning there?
You know, it has been great to be able to build those relationships and to see the smiles on the faces, especially when somebody does something for the first time and they're just so excited about the experience that they've had. That just really gets us excited. Or people, you know, achieving a dream or a goal, you know, that they got their first job, that they moved into their house, where they're excited about hitting those milestones and having parents who call to share some of those special moments because they know we understand what they're saying.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Our guest is Kevin Fish, Executive Director, Ability Point. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2025.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.